How many of you watch the news occasionally? Yeah, well, I kind of almost don't anymore. But if you want to get seriously depressed, watch the news every day. You know, right? I mean, and sometimes that's even if it's the weatherman, sometimes it's not good. But I just was thinking about this. This is so interesting. In the past few weeks, I'll say in the last couple of months, I've spent quite a bit of time talking about who we are as believers, who He is in us and who we are in Him. That's kind of a constant theme with me because I find people don't grab it. But so I'm not going to talk about that today. But I thought in place of that, we're going to talk about something else. So just think about all of the troublesome things, the wars and the rumors of wars and, you know, the Hamas and Israel and the North Koreans hate the South Koreans and everybody else just about hates the North Koreans too. Just, you know, all of the stuff and the red and the blue and the right and the left and all this stuff, and it's going on all the time. Just as a continuous thing. And what is the Lord going to do here in this stage of the latter days? We are in the last times. The Bible was written in the last times, correct? So I always say these are the laster times that we're in. And there's difficulty, there's strife, there's, what are we going to do? And people cry out, and we were praying yesterday a little bit, you know, about that, Lord, help this and help that. And the Lord has one answer for the whole shebango. It's called the church. I'm not kidding. That is absolutely, positively His plan to make life work in this day. And so I want to spend a little bit of time of redefining or defining the church for you so you can see the kind of stuff He has planned, as has it scripturally encrypted, if I can say it this way, of things that will happen, and they happen through the church. So I put a couple of quotes in here for you. This is Charles Clayton Morrison. He said, "The Christian church," I love this, "is the only society in the world in which membership is based upon the qualification that the candidate shall be unworthy of membership." You got to admit that you're a sinner to get in. Now that's not just funny, that's real. And then all of a sudden, okay, now you're part of the church. You sinned. What in the world is wrong with you? Well, I got my ID here. But it's the only organization of any function in the world where you've got to admit not to qualify. Because what's the qualification for heaven? Perfect. And yet you have to admit to being imperfect to get into the family of God. Isn't that crazy? It's crazy good. Because He took the test, got a perfect grade, and we get His grade. But you have to admit, instead of saying, well, I have all these degrees, and I have all these qualifications, and I have all these capacities that recommend me. Meh. That's not what does it. It's here. I need you, and I want you, and for some reason you want me. Let's make this work. That's how it is to get into the church. I quoted this in a prayer meeting yesterday because it was a prayer meeting. James Stewart says, if we ever forget our basic charter, my house is a house of prayer. I mentioned that in communion today. We might as well shut the church doors. People ask me, how good a church you have? Don't know. We're not in the Win Friends and Influence People book. But we haven't forgot to do the most important thing, and that's pray. Stewart also says, the church is a community of the works and the words of Jesus. That's a good definition. Vance Havner says, the business of the church is to demonstrate God. Isn't that cool? I told this story not too long ago, but when I read that again, I had to tell it. Had these people I was working with, led them to the Lord. They got saved. We baptize them. These were, you know, off the beaten path peeps. Big couple, I mean, big people. And like football player big people. And, tattooed all over the joint and everything, I would go to their little apartment and meet with them and talk to them because they had two kids, and to bring the kids to the church was like, we got to have four people to watch them, so no. And the little boy, the littlest boy, when I would come, I could see him. He jumped up on a little stool, and he could look through the thing to see who was there. And I would come and talk to him about the Lord, pray. Sometimes I'd sing a song. I know it was bad, but they were the only ones that could hear it. And one day, I'm walking down the hallway, and I knock on the door, and nobody answers, and I knocked on the door, and then I can hear the little kid push the little chair thing up against the door. He's going to look out, and he says, "Mom, God's here." And I thought, never been mistaken. But it was cool. He saw a representation of something that hadn't been in his house, and he liked it. And he blamed God. Isn't that cool? And so that's what the church is supposed to be, is a demonstration of God. Interesting. John Calvin says the source and origin of the church is the free love of God. Well, if it's a free love of God, then we got something to give away. Ernest Southcott says, "We don't go to church, we are the church." Amen. That's pretty good. Lincecum says this. I'll slow down because this is kind of full. "But God never intended his church to be a refrigerator in which to preserve perishable piety. He intended it to be an incubator in which to hatch out converts." I like that. Tozer says, "The highest expression of the will of God in this age is the church, which he purchased with his own blood." The highest expression of the will of God is the church. And some of you are going to say, "Wait a minute, I've been to church. I don't know if that matches up." And we'll cover that. Peter Kreef, this is really good. "The church is a conspiracy of love for a dying world, a spy mission into the enemy-occupied territory ruled by the powers of evil, a prophet from God with the greatest news the world has ever heard, the most life-changing and most revolutionary institution that has ever existed on earth." Let's go there. Let's be there. And then, I love Vance Havner. He's an old Baptist leader from way back. He said, "But too many church services begin at 11 o'clock sharp and end at 12 o'clock dull." Now, come on, isn't that good? Man, I wish I'd have thought of that. Well, I have thought of it. But to be able to quote it, in other words, it's just oil in the machinery. And I have friends who have quit the ministry because they felt like all they were doing was oiling the machinery. Yeah. So, the Bible makes some remarkable statements about the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says, "The church is those who are consecrated, purified, and made holy in Christ Jesus." It's 1 Corinthians, the first four verses of the first chapter. Paul, summoned by the will and purpose of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus and our brother Sosthenes, to the church, the assembly of God which is in Corinth, to those consecrated and purified and made holy in Christ Jesus, who are selected and called to be saints, God's people, together with all those in any place, and to call upon and who call upon and give honor to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. So it's not just the ones in Corinth he's talking about. It's anybody everywhere that claims in the name of Jesus. He says, "Grace, favor, spiritual blessing to you, and the heart of peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. I thank my God at all times for you because of the grace and spiritual blessing of God which was bestowed on you in Christ Jesus." Now, that's what he says is true about the church, that the people who belong to the church are consecrated, purified, made holy in Jesus, and called to be saints. So saints aren't dead people that you pray to. Saints are people who know Jesus. And as Brother Roloff used to say, there's only two kinds of people. There's the saints and there's the ain'ts. And if you ain't a saint, you're an ain't. I don't know why I remember that, but I do. But the idea is, saints not this special brand or breed of people that you only get, you know, a couple every 2,000 years or whatever. No, no. That's what the people of God are. And he says your people are consecrated, connected, committed, sanctified, set apart for the purposes of God. He says they're holy people. Well, I've been to church and I met some people that didn't act holy to me. Yeah, but the spirit of holiness is in them, and God counts them as a, if I can say this, a holiness container, because he's placed them in his son and he's placed his son in them. Now, well, what if I don't act that way? That'll come. And you'll get communicated with by that, because he's a good father. And you've been given the right to become a child of God. But that's what he says. You got to recognize that that's how you're identified. I mean, if you looked up your graduation, you know, book the year that you graduated, and since you become a Christian, that's what it would say under your name. Well, they're consecrated and they're holy people and they're saints. What? No, it's true. Those are reality statements. Those aren't going to be. Those are our statements. Our, O-U-R, and R. That means present tense. And that's who, what the church is. So, and we become that. Knock on the door. Mom, God's here. That's what it's like. And that's incredible. I mean, that is just absolutely, positively incredible. We are the church, and the church is the fullness of him who fills all in all. That's how Paul defines the church, the fullness of him, Jesus, who fills all in all. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 22, and he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So we are the fullness of him. Sometimes we don't act like it, we don't talk like it, we don't make the right moves, but he says we collectively, as the people of God, the family of God, are the fullness of him who fills all in all. So it's not about us being us so much as it him being in us and being him in us. Amen. Don't ask me to repeat that. Verse 22 and 23, Weymouth translation says it this way. God has appointed Jesus universal and supreme head of the church. I like that. Which is his body, the completeness of him who everywhere fills the universe with himself. Wow. Weist translation says it this way. He gave Jesus as head over all things to the church, which is of sort a nature to be his body, the fullness of the one who constantly is filling all things with all things. He's constantly filling, which means we have an adequacy that is of the Lord. And he brings the fullness. Now, the best way probably to get into the fullness is to present him the emptiness. I'm pausing. But he is the one who fills us so that we can meet the definition of being the fullness of all things that he fills. Well, I don't know if I would describe the church that way. I'm just telling you what he says. And if I'm picking a definition, I'm probably going to take his over mine. Or yours. And you should do the same. He says, we are the fullness of him who fills all in all. And then he says, the church, we're being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 2, 19. So then you are no longer strangers. Strange. It says you're no longer strangers. Can I get a witness? That's part of the family of God, right? You're no longer strangers. And that helped me when I said, well, it doesn't say they're no longer strange. Just no. But you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens with the saints. We are fellow citizens with each other, with the saints. And we are of God's household. Whew. That's kind of better than being part of God's institution, isn't it? Part of God's household. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now, this might mess your theology up a little bit. But when he's talking about the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, he's talking about New Testament stuff. That he also tells us, learn from the Old Testament. He's not ignoring it, but he's saying the foundation is this stuff that's been happening. The apostles and the prophets. Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, coming from him, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. Not necessarily a holy temple on Main Street, but holy temple in the Lord. In whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. A dwelling of God in the Spirit. It says in the Amplified this way, and in fellowship with one another, you yourselves are being built up into this structure with the rest to form a fixed dwelling place of God in the Spirit. A fixed dwelling place in God. And so, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ the Lord, the song says. But there's a spiritual temple, not a building. In the Spirit, there is a dwelling place of God. Well, that means he's in each one of us, and he's also corporately among us, right? And so there is a oneness to that, and there is a godness to it. Haven't you ever, you get in there, sometimes you get in a prayer place, prayer room, closet, your car, whatever, and you have an experience with the Lord, and it's just wow. And then sometimes you come in here or someplace like this, and it's magnified because it's not just what's happening in you and with you. It's also what's happening in you and with you and the one next to you and the one on the other side of the room. And then what he's doing amongst us. See, the kingdom of God is among us, in our midst. And he's saying, you don't know it, but that's why some of this stuff is happening, because that's what he's doing. There's a construct going on. He's changing us. He's deepening us. He's maturing us. He's stimulating us, stirring us up sometimes by revelation and sometimes by way of reminder. Sometimes it's by way of reminder that you've had a revelation. Hello. It's really true. But it's all happening. He says, and you're doing it. This is happening not just with the guy that's got the microphone or not just with the guy that has the prophetic word, but it's happening with all the rest of us. This is part of all the rest of us. And so, this is a several bricks thick temple that we're talking about here. There's bazillions of people. This is happening. It's not just happening locally. This is globally. Something's happened. The body of Christ is all these places where he is. But that's, he says, and that's the church. That's what he calls the church. We're being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Have you ever walked through a house that's being built, but it's not totally finished? Well, a keen eye will say, quite a bit incomplete, isn't it? Yeah, but dude, you should have been here when we dug the basement. There's a lot been happening. It reminds me, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'll say it. I guess it doesn't matter. You remember the old prunes commercial? I can see none of you do. They would give this rather distinguished English person a prune. And he says, pits, I don't like pits. He says, they're not pitted anymore. So he pops the prune in his mouth and eats it. And his assessment is, still rather badly wrinkled, you know. I thought, that's great. And that's how some people are at the church. He's not done yet. Yeah, I see, you can tell. No. You don't know how this got here and this got here and this got here. And this person came and he added this gift and he added, and we're still in this process. He's causing us to become this kind of dwelling where he can't keep out of, but he must be in. And yeah, there's still a few wrinkles. But we're out of the pit. Now that was not bad for me to make all that out of that. Just saying. But the idea is there has been a deliverance. There's been a transfer. Something's happened. See, it's not the same fruit anymore because now we spit the pit. Now it's just fruit. Are we doing okay? I'm telling you, and it's in process. It's in process. Well, why isn't this? Well, because it's in process, you know? I mean, and it shows in the different applications of how his presence comes. It's different in one place than it is another place. Some people, when they gather, are more prone to say, be still, the Lord's in his house. That's good, but sometimes it's, strike up the music. You know, there's victory in the camp. Both are appropriate. And neither one of them is probably appropriate all the time. Timeliness is important. Because when it's a somber time, in the Old Testament you would see feasts and fasts, right? Well, if you're up dancing on the table during a fast, somebody's going to take you out. By the other token, if it's a feast and people are celebrating, then don't be a curmudgeon. Go for it. Go with it. But he says, this is all happening where it's forming, that we're becoming as this dwelling of God. We always want to think building, but dwelling of God in the spiritual realm. I say this many times, I guess I'm saying it again. The Bible says God is eternal and immortal and invisible. And that may seem hard to see sometimes. But it's in that eternal, immortal, invisible sense of God being spirit. That's where he's doing this. And we're learning to have life from there and in there. Because he says, I want you to walk in the spirit. Well, if it's a temple, how many bricks are you carrying? No, it's the presence of God. It's the nowness of God, and we get to walk in it. We can take what he's been doing with us, either here or privately, and go to work, go to school, go on vacation. And you know what? That you're still a carrier. You are. And what happens in that dwelling place of God in the Spirit affects us individually. And haven't you walked out feeling better than you did when you walked in? Being in the presence of God, that's what I'm talking about. But is it complete? No, it's ongoing. So it's completely ongoing. But that's how he defines the church. This next one, honest to God, long time ago, when I saw this, I said, I had two different things, and I thought, this can't be. But it's in a book. So it is. He proclaims his manifold wisdom to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenlies through the church. He's going to principalities and powers and saying, look at my kids. Look at the family of God. You will learn. And he goes through us, through worship and warfare and intercession and proclamation and declaration and depth in the word, growth of the spirit fruitfully in our lives, and it teaches, it informs principalities and powers. You're kidding. No. When I read it, I thought it was kidding. Didn't think it was right. Those were a long time ago days, but Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, the purpose is that through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might now be made known to the angelic rulers and authorities, principalities and powers in the heavenly sphere. The wisdom of God. Well, it's got to be in the church to come out of the church, doesn't it? And he's entrusting in his plan of dealing with principalities and powers to have at least some portion of the expression of his wisdom to come through the church. Well, this is heavy lifting. This isn't just, we're going to have a barbecue on Saturday. You know, could be. But he's saying, coming through the church. I just find that incredible that he's planned it that way because he's placed his spirit in us. Right? In the same chapter, Weymouth goes on in his version. This is starting with verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all God's people, has this work been graciously entrusted to proclaim to the Gentiles the good news of the exhaustless wealth of Christ and to show all men in clear light what it, my stewardship is. It's the stewardship of truth from all the ages that lay concealed in the mind of God, the Creator of all things, concealed in order that the church might now be used to display to the powers and authorities in the heavenly realms the innumerable aspects of God's wisdom. And that's really well said. Such was the eternal purpose which he had formed in Christ our Lord, in whom we have this bold and confident access through him in faith. He had planned on doing this for a long time. It just wasn't an accident and said, well, those guys got a little something, I'll use them. No, he had planned to, if I can say this, transform people into the likeness of his son. Through that process, he could declare to the principalities and powers, you guys were never going to figure this out. Never. Because the enemy and his minions never, ever in a bazillion years would have thought a perfect, holy, righteous God would be able to take perfectly sinful, messed up people and place the perfect, holy, righteous spirit of his son in them so they could declare the purposes of God. And you could just, you know, kind of see some angels going, nah, nanny, boo, boo. I mean, you never would have figured it out. That's why he did it this way, and now you got to eat it. Now you have to deal with these crazy human beings that have the spirit of God in them. He's just not isolated in Jesus like he used to be on the earth. Now he's in bazillions of people. And he gives revelation to them. He opens their eyes. He deepens their faith. He gives them compassion. Stirs them with passion. Causes them to know things that mentally, cognitively, they would never know. But it comes through revelation of the Word of God. Holy Spirit opening doors for people to see in the Word of God. Now if I live it, my whole life declares these things to the powers and principalities. And they can't figure out why a deadbeat like me would be out here telling people to fall in love with Jesus. But I am! And we're going to keep doing it. How's that going to work? It's like saying, put all of your food in a refrigerator that won't work when you plug it in. That's what they think we are. I'm telling you, man. We're as hot as a fire, or we're as cold as ice, depending on what he's doing. Because he made us that way. Because we're not the sustainer, we're the container. And he can sustain through us what we contain. Isn't that wonderful? And so some of the time, the things that the enemy has had to find out about himself and about what the Lord did to him, and by tricking him to kill him so he could be resurrected, so he could live forever in everybody that said yes. And now he's got to deal with all these little Jesus containers all over the place. Huh? Isn't that real? And sometimes it's an individual, sometimes it's collective, but he is revealing the cost of his loss to the enemy. Hmm? Isn't that cool? And he's doing it, he does it in us. Sometimes we don't even know that's what's happening. That's what I think is so cool about it. It's like, but we get to be part. By being part, we're making a declaration of the whole. Well, I better go, but this is a cool thing. And you would never guess that the church would be involved, right? As a matter of fact, when I read that at first, I thought, that's got to be a misprint. Well, the next one I really thought was. Because at that point, my connection to the church wasn't all that exhilarating. You know what I'm saying? But that doesn't matter. He is desirous of walking among us to bring glory to himself through the church and through Jesus. This is the one I actually, when I first became a Christian, I went to the pastor and I said, I think my Bible's got it wrong. It says, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus to all generations. And I said, they got this backwards. Because see, Jesus is the main source of glory, right? He's the Son of God. He's the person that God loved more than anybody. He said, no, it's what it says. It's hard to understand. But he mentions glory givers being the church before he mentions Jesus. You ever read that? You ever take that up? I just said, how can that be? And my first response to the Lord was, well, probably not in every circumstance. But in Ephesians chapter 3, he's saying, it really, really glorifies the Father that the church would be so connected to the Son that they're glorifying him. And so is Jesus. Isn't that crazy? I don't have all day to go on this. I searched. It's just the way it is. He mentions the church first. I was blown away. First of all, I always thought, how could they misprint that? That's pretty important. And, you know, I was dumb enough to go ask. And he said, yeah, he said, but the pastor told me, I'm not so sure everything that means, but that's what it says. Because he showed me it said the same thing in his. I was, well, that must be right. He is able and desirous of bringing glory to himself through the church. Wow. So can I give you just a little encouragement? Anybody that gives up on the church hasn't read the book. There are times that local expressions make you go, how can they be so human? And I can't say that, you know, every decision I've ever made is perfect or anything like that. I'm just saying, he doesn't have plan B. We're it. Right. We are it. And not just us, everybody that names his name. But his plan is to glorify himself through the church. If that's all I got up to say, I'd say that's a pretty, he's got a big job to empower the church to be glorifying to him all the time. Because sometimes people do some unglorifying things. Sometimes, you know, groups of people or denominations or whatever do some unglorifying things. But he's got it set up. He said, listen, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what the Lord has stored up for those who love him. That's us. I've been praying that a lot. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I've been praying that a lot. And it's much like what he says in Ephesians 3:20. He's able to do exceedingly beyond our ability to ask, think, or imagine, either individually or as the church, because he's put his presence in us. Weiss says it this way, now to the one who is able to do beyond all things, super abundantly beyond and over and above those things we're asking for. You can ask for some pretty big stuff because he's able to super abundantly beyond and over and above all those things we're asking for. He's able to do it. He's able to do it. He's capable to do it. And he can do it here or in Mayberry.
Yes. Amen.
Thank you. And I haven't even got my bullet out yet. That was funny. So what have I done? Why are we here? What are we doing here? I just want to put fresh faith in your heart about the value of the church in the eyes of God. And you can, if you look all this stuff up internationally, nationally, globally, you know, numbers are not impressive. Church attendance is down, like everywhere. And in the United States, it just depends on where you're looking, but here, somewhere in the neighborhood, between 17 and 19% of people even go to a church. That's not overwhelming, is it? But can a nation change its God in a day? Darn straight. Yes, yes. In a manner of speaking, yes. The church isn't doing everything we'd like to see the church do. And I would say a good part of that is that the church isn't being everything the church is supposed to be. So it's not just all doing, it's a lot of being. So the being results in doing, right? I mean, we go on and on. That's one of the reasons we're doing what we're doing on Wednesday night, talking about these are times when the Lord moved. Look at what he did. Look at who he used. Look at the outcome of what he has. You know what? I always say it ain't over until the fat angel sings. And that's bad English, but I want you to be encouraged, equipped to know that it doesn't matter how dark the day gets or how confused the culture seems to be. We could spend some time there. The answer is the Lord said, I got people here. And I'm going to have a lot more people here. And I'm going to build my invisible dwelling place so that those who dwell with me walk among people and people do see God. And they are touched by the presence. And they are touched by the power. And that's supposed to be our MO. That's our method of operation. That's what we do. That's who we are. And there are lots of individual things I understand. There are a lot of objects that are in our path. You know, there are difficulties in every possible realm of life. But I want you to know he's able to do exceedingly abundantly, super abundantly beyond all that stuff. Even beyond the stuff, if you stayed awake at night and prayed the most ridiculously way over the top prayer, he said, well, I can do better than that. Right. He may not say it like that. But he's fully capable of doing better than that. And I thought, you know what? Because he can. I'll tell you a little story we used the other night. This Dr. Lake, John G. Lake, and he had a large family, 7, 8 kids, and he was supposed to go home, been there all day. And he's praying for people, and everybody was getting healed. And so now, you don't have to like this. It's just, I'm not saying I did it, I'm saying he did it. But where, by the stage where he was, it's a great big rock. And just looked around, and he goes, So he goes over and lays hands on the rock. And he said, there's an anointing to heal that's in me, and I have to leave. And I'm going to deposit that power to heal in this rock. If you come up and pray and touch the rock, it'll be like me touching you, and you'll get well. And he left, and they got well. Touching a rock. Well, I don't know if I believe that or not. People that got healed did. I mean, that's all I can say. I wasn't there, you know. You can't Google it. Nobody was, this happened back in the early 1900s in South Africa. But people that got healed wrote about it. People that were there saw it and wrote about it. Well, what does that mean? We better be praying for a lot of rocks. No, we need to have mobile rocks. We need to be built upon the rock, but we need to be able to go everywhere. There's a mobility to anointing on people, in people, who can move. said this in the prayer meeting the other day. He did it like that, and then it's like a bomb went off in the rock and people got healed by collateral blessing. Isn't that good? How about us having some stuff go off in us so people can get healed by collateral blessing? That's his plan for the church. We're part of the church. And I just thought, talk so much about us as individuals. I just want to give you encouragement. The Lord hasn't given up on the church anywhere, in any country, in any city, any place. He hasn't. Now, that doesn't mean people don't give up, being honest. But he hasn't given up, and he's not sitting up there sweating, oh my gosh, church thing's not doing everything I wanted it to. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do in 26? We'll come up with something slick. And they come to their conclusion. Church. The church. Now, we need the church to be the church the way he's defined it. We defined it pretty clearly from the scriptures today. It's a lot different in some ways. But you know what? Jesus being Jesus in people who surrender, like we prayed, and say, here, have your way with me. That's what we're looking about. And then we can do stuff together that, you know, where it's not an arrow at a time, but it's unloading at a time. So just want to, don't want you to leave today. I want you to leave all fired up, actually. But what I'm looking for us is to say, you know, Lord, will you make me part of the church the way you want me to be? And will you make our place the kind of place you want our place to be? And if he answers that super abundantly above what we're able to ask or think, look out, scout. Things will happen. They'll happen in us, and they'll happen among us, and they'll happen through us. It's not like some of that stuff hasn't happened. I'll be honest with you. There are some pretty cool things that have happened. But I'm looking, when I read through the Bible and I see all these things he says about the church, there's always room for more. Yeah. And that's not just business and busyness. It's spiritual activity. It's the Holy Spirit making Jesus famous in our place. That's what we're after. So let's just stand together. In the old days, I'd have had everybody join hands. You don't have to do that. But Lord, would you join our hearts today? One in the Spirit, one in the Lord. And then the song says, and they'll know we're Christians by our love. You equate love with presence and presence with power. And so, Lord, would you do what's necessary among us to be that part of your church that brings glory to you, that part of your church that has something to show, something to broadcast to the principalities and powers of saying, I never would have guessed it'd work like that. Lord, we want to be and we want to experience it being the fullness of him who fills all in all. Wow. Holy Spirit, I ask for you to leave these words in our minds, in our hearts, so that we would, when we think of the church, we're not looking at the wrinkles. We're looking at the promises of God, the reality of God, the way you define the people of God. And Lord, would you cause us to walk right into that, to grow right into that, and to minister from that. That people will know you're alive, and you're alive in Kansas City, in your church. So entertain me. Would you put your hand on your heart or just anywhere on your chest there, anywhere? Lord, I just want to sign up fresh today to be the church the way you have defined the church in your word. I want to be individually like that. And I want us corporately to be like that. And Lord, could we walk out of here today being so proud of you for everything that you have done and be so glad about you for all the things you're about to do? Because you say, this is my church and this is what the church is like, all these things we've looked at today. Would you inhabit us in ways beyond we've sensed an inhabitation before? Would you express your life in us and through us in ways that we are not accustomed to, in ways that are way beyond what we've been accustomed to? We want to be that incubator producing converts. We want to love people out of darkness and into light. We want to see people's lives changed in ways that we're not near good enough to cause to happen. We want to experience being transformed into the likeness of your Son. Stir us up, Lord, by way of reminder and by revelation. Some of this maybe we'd never seen before. It's real. It's true. It's what you say about the church. It's the final word because it's what you say. Would you watch over your word that we have looked at today in order to perform it in us and among us, in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we're going to stop there. I want you to be turned on about what God says about the church. Amen. Amen.